Oh, we be live. Hello, everybody. Wow, look at this. Hi, we're with Elliot here. Elliot here is again. It's so much fun when I do these shows with you. When you're coming, Elliot, I do, like, when you tell me that you can come on one of the live streams, I'm like, okay, I have to pick something that I know is going to be fun with Elliot, right? So, like,
so everybody knows, Armin just admitted that he actively tries to pick videos that, you know, get under my skin. So he's kind of admitting to torturing me. It's like he's kind of saying I psychologically torture Elliot. I'm just throwing that out there, you guys.
By the way, somebody in the live stream and other people are saying like the stream. I don't know who this person is, but thank you so much for saying that. Other people are confirming that they like, guys, make sure you like the stream. Do it right now. But let me see if we're already being demonetized. Hold on, because we didn't say anything. Last time I just had hi to people and we got demonetized. No, we're still good.
You broke records.
Yeah.
Let
me show you on the screen, actually. Look, guys, we're still monetized. This is green. Green is good. Green is good. When this turns yellow, that means, like, we're done. We're like, it's horrible, okay? But, guys, make sure you like this stream. Maybe if you guys like this stream, YouTube would be like, I'm not going to demonetize. People are loving this show, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, so we have this video from the Muslim Lantern. By the way, guys, the Muslim Lantern YouTube channel is, like, quickly becoming one of the main English Islamic channels, right? So the main three Islamic English YouTube channels are Smile to Jannah, Ali Dawa, and Muhammad Hijab, right? But this guy just is like coming in fast and has the numbers, like has 250,000 subscribers, getting a lot of views. You know, when you look at Islam in English on YouTube, his videos are like showing up at the top. And I can see why. Yeah, I can see why. Like, the guy knows his stuff. Like, he's more knowledgeable than Ali Dawa when it comes to, and Smiles to Jannah, I think, when it comes to knowing, understanding Islam properly. But he's also not, you know, unrelatable. You know, like, I think Daniel Hayraju and Muhammad Hijab, they know their stuff, but they're not as relatable as this guy. So I think, and also the way he looks, his, you know, feature, he kind of looks like a pure Muslim, you know, young man and everything. I think everything, he has everything going for him, and he knows, he speaks with confidence, and he knows that he knows his stuff, and that's why I think his channel is blowing up. But for us, his channel is an excuse to review what is working, what Muslims are saying these days, and what is popular these days, and for us to respond to it, right? Guys, have you liked the stream? Like, seriously, like, I'm not joking, you guys are. Yeah. Shame on you if you have not liked this. Yeah. Shame.
We're just going to sit here quietly for a minute if you don't do it. It's going to be very uncomfortable.
We're going to look at you and shame. But, oh, guys, what the hell?
Did I
say we got demonetized?
It was the shaming. That's what did it. It was.
It's because you didn't like enough. I knew if you liked enough in the first 1 minute of the show, we wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I'm going to request a review. We got demonetized. Like, why?
It really doesn't
make sense.
It really doesn't make sense. There's nothing. There's nothing that was going on.
It's a little. It's gone.
Yeah. People of the Republic, say it together. And it's gone.
And it's gone.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay. Gloves are coming off. We're just saying it all. This is on you, YouTube. Yeah. Like, you know, it's your fault now, but
anyways, okay, yeah, let's just watch this and see what this guy says. So this is a bisexual ex-Muslim woman who is considering converting back to Islam and wants to talk to Muhammad Ali or the Muslim Lantern about, you know, maybe like she's reconsidering. She's like, yeah, so let's see what they have to say. Oh, by the way, me and Elliot, we have our notepads because a lot of you told us that we're pausing a lot, right? A lot of you told us that you don't understand the video that we're reviewing if we pause so much. So we are now going to try to let a little bit of it go. And if you have anything to say, we will take some notes so that we don't interrupt the video as much. See, you guys, we take feedback. We take your feedback.
Yes, and it's gone. First note.
All right, let's watch this.
Did we talk before? No, we haven't. I tried to talk to you last time, but it was too late and I couldn't get on.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
No, go ahead. How can I help
you? Okay, so I'm an ex-Muslim and I'm thinking of going back to Islam, but I have some things that are stopping me from going back. And I was thinking of just addressing that with you and see what you have to say about like those things. So the reasons why I like one
yeah,
of
before,
the
yeah, 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 before we go, we'll get into that is like, what's your background? Where are you from?
I'm Palestinian Syrian, so Arab.
Okay. Okay. And what was the reason you left to begin with? What was the reason you left?
So there were a few things. I feel like culture clashed a lot with the religion. And one of the main reasons was that I identified with what you call the alphabet community. So that was one of the reasons. And I felt like my family, which was very religious, mm-hmm. kept like calling me really bad things like
Shaz. I can assume.
So that was one of the reasons. And I feel like because now I'm thinking of, because I've seen a lot of your videos and I'm quite convinced that Islam is the truth, but this is like something that I don't know how to deal with, this idea of me being like bisexual and also mm-hmm. not really welcome within like the religion. Mm-hmm. So I have like something that kind of convinces me to go back, but I also wanted to see what you like think about like what I should do really to like be able to accept going back. I don't know.
I'm trying to understand.
All right. So, you know, if I was a Muslim and I was trying to convince her back to Islam, I would tell her that the reason why she left Islam was not because of any rational problems mm-hmm. that she had with Islam. I would tell her that you just had a bad experience with Muslims, with your family and the way they treated you. So your problem was with Muslims, not with Islam itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't judge Islam based on how Muslims are behaving. You know, regardless how badly Muslims behave, Islam should be judged based on what Islam teaches, based on the Quran, based on the Sunnah, based on what Islam stands for. So that's why you left Islam. You should actually come and evaluate the truth of the message. So again, Muslims could be bad, but Islam is pure. That's what I would say to try to, I'm pretty sure she's already halfway there, but that's what I would say. By the way, the reason that doesn't work for me is because Islam is actually worse than Muslims. If you actually go read the scripture, right? Muslims are actually mostly decent, good people. It's Islam. It's Islam that it's a problem. Yeah. But this is what a lot of Muslims say. The Muslims say, "Oh, Muslims are bad. Islam is good." Me as an ex-Muslim myself, I was like, actually, most Muslims are pretty good. It's Islam that is the problem. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about all this?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, and I mean one. I picked up on that as well. I think a lot of, especially in the Christian apologetic space, a lot of Christians would say, oh, hey, this isn't like a rational reason that you made this, you know, switch. You really should, you know, let emotion be kind of a secondary thing. And, you know, sure, some people will treat you bad, but, and I could even see a handful of people in that vein, the Christian apologist, who would even make the argument that, hey, there isn't a contradiction in you being, you know, LGBTQ and a Christian. I think there's arguments you can make on both sides of that, especially with Islam. I think it's pretty clear to see like, hey, no, actually, Islam is not cool with homosexuals. So, but One thing that did stick out to me, and it's not the most critical, but I'm always intrigued by this because the religious community often talks about how believing in their specific religion makes you such a super great person, right? And how you're always so kind and caring and loving and supportive and blah, blah, blah. And yet we hear all these stories of people just being dicks to people. And so it just... I just think that's an interesting point. Like, if your religion really is supposed to be the model for how all people live their lives for all times, then either it's not working when people are putting it into practice, or it's a model that turns people into dicks and your religion is saying that's the way you should live. So, you know, just interesting thoughts. But yeah, I would like to know what's kind of convincing her to come back.
Yes.
I wonder if she mentions, yeah, because it'd be like, that'd be really interesting. Like, oh, I met Allah the other day, you know, like.
You know, I would agree that, you know, Muslims being bad to you is not a good reason for what to think why Islam is bad, right? Because, I don't know, atheists could be mean to you. Christians could Absolutely. Be mean to you. Liberals could be bad to you. Communists could be bad to you. Like, just meeting, there are, every community has its fair share of people that behave badly. So you judging whether an ideology or a way of thinking is correct or not based on how good the people within it are is like a flawed methodology, right? So I agree that if she left Islam because of that, that's not a good enough reason logically. I mean, I don't know if we could expect everybody to have good reasons for what they choose to believe in. Yeah, but I really hope, like, I don't know, I really wish I could know what made her realize that Islam is actually, like, in her words, that Islam is true. Like, what was the thing that she saw that convinced her, like, oh, obviously this is true, I was wrong.
Yeah,
but let's see if she says anything about that.
Understand the question, like, is a question about the idea of, like, the LGBT thing, or is it about something else? What is the question?
It's about the LGBT, like, how I could be LGBT and Muslim at the same time, and if that could even work.
Okay, so this is the thing. For you to be Muslim, certain conditions have to be met. These conditions are that someone needs to believe in what is in the Shahada, which I'm sure you already know.
Yeah.
Just to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and to believe that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger and servant. Once someone believes that, this is the important thing. And an outcome of that is that he believes in whatever the Quran teaches. Because there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. If Allah is the one worthy of worship, the Quran is the way, the word of Allah, and to worship him is following his command. And to testify that Prophet Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, it means لا متبوع بحقهم إلا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. It means no one to be followed in truth in religious matters and these things except the Prophet. So
yeah.
This is the outcome of it, which means now, once someone fulfills these conditions, he believes in the six pillars, he's a Muslim. So he believes in Allah and the angels, the messengers, the day of judgment, like the books, Qadr, destiny. If he believes these things and he believes in what the Shahada says, he believes what a Muslim believes. If he testifies it, he becomes a Muslim. Now, if the problem now with the idea of the like alphabet community is if you believe this thing is not wrong. Now, this is the problem. Now, this will clash with being a Muslim. You cannot be a Muslim and believe it's moral. The actions are moral because the Quran says they're immoral. Islam says they're immoral. If Islam says Allah is the source of right and wrong and morality anyways. So if Allah is the source of right and wrong and morality, then if Allah determines something to be immoral, if you believe what Allah calls immoral is moral, you cannot be a Muslim. And that's not just with the alphabet community, but with anything. So if I believe, like, for example, killing is moral, or I believe stealing is immoral, or any of these things, if I were to believe these things, that would mean I cannot be a Muslim, because that directly opposes the teachings of the Quran and so on. Okay? So now this is the first thing, is that I have to accept, submit to the idea that this is something which is haram, something immoral, something not good. From an Islamic point of view, immoral means something that God is not pleased with.
Okay, so what he's saying is actually quite correct. But what he wrote on the screen was not correct. Like, what he says and what he showed on the screen was kind of contradictory. Because to be a Muslim, you know, according to mainstream, you know, not mainstream, based on what ulama think, based on what the Islamic scholarship mostly agrees on, is first of all, you have to believe in Allah. You have to believe that Muhammad was his prophet. You have to believe that the Quran was the word of God. You have to believe in the day of judgment and, you know, the books that were sent and, I don't know, angels and a couple other things, the six pillars of faith, or some people say seven, some people say six. You have to believe these things. And now the question is, like, okay, if I believe these things but do not live an Islamic life, like, what if I believe these things but, like, I don't know, sin, for example, have gay sex, right, adultery, drink alcohol, would I still be a Muslim? Because this is a question that she wants to know, because she's LGBT. So she wants to know, like, if she could be a Muslim while she's LGBT. So a lot of people say, like, oh, no, you can't be LGBT and be a Muslim at the same time. So now this becomes the question. If I believe those things, if I'm LGBT, I'm sinning. Am I sinning to the point that I'm not even a Muslim anymore? So here's how it works. It's not the sinning that makes you not a Muslim, is if you believe that this is okay, right? So beyond believing those things that you're supposed to believe to be a Muslim, you also have to accept the commandments of Allah. And accepting the commandments of Allah is not necessarily doing the commandments of Allah. It's not necessarily following the commandments of Allah, right? So as an example, if you believe in Allah, if you believe in Muhammad, if you believe in, I don't know, the Quran, and you also accept that a commandment of Allah is not to drink alcohol, if you agree with that, okay, this is a commandment of Allah, you're a Muslim. But if you, even if you drink alcohol, right, you could drink alcohol and still be a Muslim, as long as you accept that this is a sin, as long as you don't deny the commandments of Allah. This is based on a Quranic verse, right? So it's not the sinning that makes you not a Muslim. It's denying the commandment of Allah that makes you a Muslim and not a Muslim. So what he said was correct. Like, you have to accept, submit to Allah, accept the commandments of Allah. But on the screen, what you saw, I wrote, is that you have to follow the commandments of Allah. That's not necessarily. If you sin as a Muslim, that does not take you out of the fold of Islam. It just means you're sinning and you will be punished for it, but you still be a Muslim. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I'm following 100%. I guess what's odd for me on that is it seems to me if you really do believe certain actions are incorrect and should not be done, and then you continually engage in those actions, it seems to me that you don't actually hold the belief that those actions should not be done, right? So then it would
just be weak. You could just be like, I'm too weak. I know this. It's kind of like somebody who's smoking, right? They know this is bad for them, but they can't stop smoking.
But that's
right?
An addiction. That's like a physical, addiction. Something to do with belief. You can believe something and then have a physical impairment that prevents you. Like I could believe that I could jump 3 feet in the air, but my physical limitations prevent me.
What about eating sweets? Right? Because you know this is bad. You know, like, let's say somebody is overweight, they're trying to lose weight.
Okay.
They know that they have to stop eating sweets all the time.
Yeah.
But they just continue eating sweets. It's just too tempting. Even though they're not denying that this is bad for them.
I still feel like that's probably in the vein of a physical thing. It's an addiction thing
so is a Muslim would say, so is other temptations that you're doing.
Like being attracted to someone of the same sex. You think
the attraction is not the problem. In fact, the attraction is a blessing. If you're a man and you're attracted to another man, that's Islamically, that's not a problem. That's an opportunity. But if you go ahead and do the gay, it's the act that will become a sin. So if you go ahead and have gay sex, or I don't know, watch gay porn and masturbate to it, or think about gay stuff and masturbate to it, right? So Islamically, if you say like, oh, I know this is bad, I know this is a sin, I just can't help it, okay? You're sinning and you will be punished for it unless you repent. But you're not, you're still a Muslim because you know that you're sinning. You're acknowledging that this is a sin. And if you keep, yeah, you might keep doing it and doing it, doing it. Like, the repetition does not mean that you're denying that this is a sin. Maybe you're just like, yeah, it's my weakness. I can't help it.
Okay. Right? Okay. So then two thoughts come to my mind for this. One, it really, really feels like you're twisting yourself in fucking knots for an absolutely worthless thing at this point. That's just what it sounds like to me. Because then you can't make the argument. If you hold that belief, you cannot then make the argument that believing and following Islam leads to a particular behavior by individuals. Like, you can't say that. You can't hold those two things. Those two things are contradictory, because on one side you're saying you can basically
point. That's not the goal anyways. The goal is to get closer to Allah, right?
But if you believe, if you are a true believing Muslim or a true believing Christian, and you follow mm-hmm. the teachings of Jesus or Muhammad respectively, you will exhibit the best of human behavior of all time. But that's not true based on that cannot be true, and also the statements that you just made, which I think you're right. Like, I think your understanding of like Islam there is spot freaking on. It seems to be butting heads there. Like,
right. Well, okay. So let me, by the way, this is Praneeth. Thank you so much for the super chat. 20 rupees from Praneeth. I appreciate the support. Guys, we have been demonetized. Yeah, so
right
please,
away.
If you like the stream or super chats, these things really help us out a lot. So thank you so much for the support. All right. So I'm going to play a little bit more, but I just want to summarize the three categories, right? So let's say, for example, you're gay. Right. And you have gay urges. Right. So there's three levels. Okay. Right. The person who has gay sex, you know, says that they're Muslim, believes in all the right stuff, but has gay sex and says that this is not a sin.
Right.
So
right.
has gay sex and says like this
that
is OK. God does not know
out of Islam.
That person has not left Islam. That person is not a Muslim.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Right.
On board.
The second person. All right. Believes in all the right stuff, the six pillars of faith and everything, like testifies to it, has gay sex and says like, this is bad. God doesn't like this. I'm sinning, right? I am sinning. Okay. So this person will get punished for it in the afterlife, will burn for this sin, right? Unless they repent at some point and has not left the fold of Islam. This person is still a Muslim. The first person will go to hell for eternity. The second person will go to hell only enough to pay for these sins. And then eventually, when they are burned enough, when they're crispy enough, they will go to heaven, right? At some point. Because they're Muslim, at some point they will go to heaven, right?
They get out of the torture eventually, but yeah.
They will get out of the torture eventually. This is the second person.
Right.
The third person is also gay, has gay urges, you know, is a Muslim, believes in all the right things, knows that having gay sex is a sin, right? Doesn't have gay sex, even though it has like these feelings constantly come to him or her, and has the desire to have gay sex, but does not give in to the desire, right?
This person
is actually better off than straight people, right? So it's this person's gay desires was a blessing, because the struggle made that this person proved more than me and you that they're close to Allah. So Allah, the desires of gay sex that God gave this person was an opportunity for this person to demonstrate how loyal they are, how much they have submitted to Islam. So God had made you struggle more so you could get closer to him. So this person is not only better than the two first people, they're even better than just average straight person that doesn't have that level of temptation to show how loyal they are to Allah. So this person is amazing. This person is, every time this person is not giving to his gay sexual desires, they are getting more brownie points, and they're going to be even in a better part of heaven than an average person.
just real quick, more brownie right. points. It's just, sorry. It just, yeah. brownie. It doesn't matter. Anyway, point is, I just want to say, okay. like, I follow all of that. And I just have right. to say, how fucked up is that system, you right. guys? Like, seriously, yes. really what you're saying is the people who are tortured by Allah repeatedly right. throughout their life are the ones that are going to get the most reward in heaven. Allah tortures yes, you yes. because he loves you. Cool.
It's basically Islamic edging, right? So, right? It's Allah edging you.
In heaven, can you? Can you? Are you allowed to yes, have
yes. in heaven? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, for what? Sure. Oh, of course.
What?
Oh, my God. Heaven is filled with gay sex. Are you kidding me?
This doesn't specific make any sense.
Of course you can have gay sex. You have wine in heaven. You have gay sex in heaven. Of course. What? There's specific angels for yes. Yes, you have
this
gay
makes,
sex.
Okay, this makes less sense to me now. This makes less sense to no. me. Okay.
This is basically, this is, you know how in BDSM, you yeah. basically keep like edging somebody, and right. if they oh, are yeah. good, yeah. at very some point true. You will reward, you will let them release and reward them. Yeah. This is basically, Allah does that to gay people, right? Allah loves doing edging on gay people. And basically you have to hold it until you die. And then God lets you release all your the point so of orgasm weird. Will be when you die.
That just doesn't yes. that sound dumb, Armin? Doesn't that just sound dumb? It's like, hey, this is a really bad thing, and you're not allowed to do. Like, imagine if instead of gay sex, it was murder. Imagine if like Allah was like, don't murder anybody your whole life, but once you get to heaven, go for it. Like, it just, it's weird. It's
well,
just,
I mean, we do have that actually. Take
can
well,
you
not
murder
because. No, not murder, but I can tell you what, because nobody can die in the afterlife. That's the only reason why you can't murder people, right? But there is an observatory point in heaven where you could watch people in hell getting tortured. And,
oh,
like,
that's true.
That.
That's true. Because you need that. Something. Yeah, that's because apparently yeah. in heaven, the place yeah. of perfect peace and happiness, you will want to see people being tortured. So. Yeah, all right, yeah, cool. No, yeah. I'm following along. I feel like it's dumb. I feel like it's dumb. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there are certain boy angels in heaven for gay people, right? And they have like pearly.
I thought they just brought snacks. I thought they were just attendants.
No.
They're also.
No, why? I mean, God keeps telling you how pretty they are. So
that's a good point. Look at what they're wearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would have been demonetized right, at this point for sure. So.
Yes. So, all right, let's go. Let's watch. Let's Twink Angels. Okay. All right, let's go. Let's go. We are actually behind, even though we waited for so long. So let's watch more of it before we pause.
Uh-huh. This is the first thing that you would have to believe. The second thing then after that is once you submitted to the fact that this is something which is immoral, now the feeling that you have, is a separate issue. There is no one who's held accountable for his feelings. So uh-huh. if I feel like towards which would never happen, but if someone were to feel towards the same gender or something like that, I have feelings towards the same gender, then Allah doesn't hold you accountable for that. That's not like something that you will get sins for and punished for the feeling. If mm-hmm. it is out of your control, we're talking. So if it like, just like happens, you feel something, you see something, this and that, and you have a feeling, it's out of your control, you're not accountable for it. In fact, you not acting upon it is something you will be rewarded for. So, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be a test that you'll be struggling with as an individual, is that you would have a feeling towards that thing. Not doing it is your test, and you get rewarded for not doing that specific thing.
Would that be like jihad in a sense, or not?
Yeah,
really?
Struggle. It just means struggle. Yeah, struggle against your desires. Struggling against your desires. Yeah. It would be struggling against your desires. Struggling against oneself and his desires and what he wants to do. And mm-hmm. but in your case, in your scenario, if you claim you're bi, it's a very simple thing because there's men and women there, so it's not hard for you to even avoid this idea. So it should be much easier for you as an individual to avoid one, because you have two options.
Yeah.
Unlike the people who say, no, it's just one thing that I desire, which is the thing which is considered immoral Islamically. So in your situation, basically, it's much easier. And yeah, so, okay, you would have to leave that and not do that specific thing. And then, of course, get married like everyone else gets married and have children like everyone else has children. And yeah, and as long as you believe it's wrong from an Islamic point of view, immoral, I mean, as long as you believe that and that you don't do any actions like this, you're okay from an Islamic point of view. You have no sins. You even have rewards. You're rewarded, let alone you're a sinner. You're even rewarded. How about acceptance in the community and this and that? This is something you shouldn't be sharing to other people anyways.
Okay.
So yeah, something to keep to yourself. It would be something in your past. You came back to Islam. It'd be something in your past. You shouldn't be sharing it with other people. It's not none of their business anyways. Like, how would they know except if you told them? But yeah, so if you don't share it, like you're just a normal individual and that's it. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I do want to ask you. So when I say like bisexual, I think I might have labeled myself as such so that my family isn't as outraged as they would have been if I labeled myself.
Yeah.
I think it might be more like a mask, I guess. So you mentioned something about marriage. So do I, like, if I don't desire to get married because of what I just said, is that haram as well? Or do I have to get married in a sense?
Well, if you getting married will result in you not giving the rights to your husband, that becomes a problem within itself. Then you shouldn't be getting married. So if you're going to get married and then you're going to cause a problem for your spouse, because marriage is a unity, it's not just one individual. So if you're going to cause problems to the spouse in that aspect, then no, you shouldn't get married. And you should work on that specific thing to become in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with. So this is what you will do. So in the meantime, while you're working, trying to work on it, yes, you can stay not married. Like, this is not a sin. There's no issues in doing that. If it's not, because you said something different, I was like responding to the bi part. But if it's something different, then yeah, not being married and waiting, it is fine. But I said that to one person I was talking to before. I said to them, I don't believe lesbians like are a real thing, you know? This is just my.
All right. So before we move forward, so she's not bi. She's a lesbian.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
So she just said bi, so she could be more accepted, to have some hope that there are some other options for her. Right. So she's saying like she doesn't want to, because she's a lesbian, she doesn't want to get married because she doesn't want to have sex with men, and he's telling her, oh, that's not an option.
Right.
You know, you have to have sex, like it's hers, right? Like he describes not having sex with your husband as causing problems for your husband, right? So this is a duty. Like, this is in Islam, when you get married to your husband, it is your responsibility. It's you're obligated to have sex with him whenever he wants it. There's even hadith by Muhammad, Sahih hadith by Muhammad, saying that if your husband wants sex with you and you don't say no to him, there will be angels that will be cursing you until morning. And also the Quranic verse that tells you that you should beat your wife, and you know, trying two other methods, eventually if it doesn't work, you should beat your wife if she is not obeying you. That includes commandments for you to have sex with her. So technically, effectively, Islam tells you to beat your wife if she doesn't have sex with you, which basically means, you know, rape, rape, right? Mm-hmm. Rape your wife, because if your wife doesn't have it, if your wife can be beaten because she doesn't have sex with you, that means that this is for sex. That's rape. But there's a couple of other points I wanted to make. But yeah, what do you think so far about what they said?
Yeah, I was mainly going to focus on those two things, just because I'll leave all the dawa and hikmah to you. Yeah, I think that's a really super good point. Like, not gonna do some, you know, logical philosophical argument here or anything, just gonna point out the sheer disgustingness of that belief, that when you marry somebody as a woman, your body is now actually belonging to this other person. That is literally what he said. He said, you know, if you're not giving him his rights. Also, I want to point out the bi erasure. I think he said it like right there as we were, you know, closing, after she clarified and said like, basically, hey, no, I actually am like lesbian. And his response was kind of like, yeah, I don't think bi people exist. I just think that's gross.
Lesbian people,
you know. Oh, lesbian.
Lesbian think,
okay. Well, but he was saying that he was talking about how it's easier for you if you're bi, because you could just avoid, you know, the group that's the same, and just, you know, be attracted to the other people. And again, I just think that's garbage. I wouldn't want to be a part of a system like that. It may be true. It isn't. It may be true, but it's gross and disgusting. And yeah, I'm glad he put that on display. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple of points. The reason why I think he says, maybe he clarifies a little bit more, lesbian people don't exist. I don't think they don't have a problem with thinking bi people exist, right? But they do have a problem with thinking that lesbians or gay people exist.
Why?
Because they think that, you know, being attracted to the same sex is a condition, right? And everybody naturally can be sexually attracted to the opposite sex, right? So bi, they can understand, like they think it's a made up thing. They think this is a modern liberal lie that some, when they tell people that homosexuality, yeah, it's a lie. Like, it's your natural state of being is to be attracted to the opposite sex, but some people at some point might, you know, have some mental issues and stuff. Again, YouTube, not my words. I'm just saying, like, I'm be attracted to the same sex, which is a temporary condition or something that they could resolve. But there is no such thing as not being able to be attracted to the opposite sex. Like, that can be cured. That's a curable thing. So when he says I don't believe that being lesbian is a thing, because lesbian means you permanently are attracted to women and cannot mm-hmm. be attracted to men. Mm-hmm. He thinks that's not a thing, because that can, if you're attracted to women, that's a curable problem. Right. That's why they say, like, okay, there's no such thing as lesbian. Yeah.
And bi people are just being, again, not yeah. our words, they're just being degenerates that are engaging in the yeah. thing. Whereas, okay, huh.
So it's, wow, it's possible for somebody
weird...
to be...
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's possible for somebody to be bi because they're just like having disgusting wrong desires, right?
Right.
But it's not possible to be. That's a lie, right? I mean, as an ex-Christian, you should understand. It's like Christians believe that it's curable. So these, like, basically, that's what they're saying. Like,
some, but not really. I mean, the vast majority of Christians are accepting of LGBTQ people. It's mostly the bi erasure. That happens. They'll say, oh yeah, you can be either attracted to the same sex or the opposite sex. You can't be attracted to both. That's where the majority of Christians would come down on that. That's really fucking weird. Yeah. See the weird loops you guys have to do to follow these religions? Like, just stop doing it. Just stop making these dumb excuses. I'm sorry. We got Shekel.
Right. Yeah, we got Shekels from Gene. Thank you so much, Gene. Saying, on the topic of the stream, Israel courts just extended refugee status to LGBTQ Palestinians and Muslims. Well, thank you, Israel. Well, that's very good. Very nice. That's amazing. Thank you for Israel. Thank you to Israel. Protecting Palestinians, LGBTQ community, and also other Muslims. Yeah. Yeah, that's, and also thank you for the Zionist support. We always mm-hmm. appreciate that. Mm-hmm. One thing the girl mentioned, and he didn't touch upon much. I don't know why he didn't touch upon much, but the girl was talking about Jihad al-Nafs, and she didn't mention it by name, but that's what it's called. So we do have, so she was wondering, she, like a lot of Muslims, modern Muslims especially, talk about how jihad is not just war. Jihad, the main form of jihad is the struggle within against sinning. And he didn't lean into that. And I'm going to guess why. Because jihad means war mostly. Like, jihad is war, right?
No.
Because, the hadith. So jihad, like, if you want to translate it word by word, it means struggle. And some Muslims have found a hadith where Muhammad, I think, says that the jihad that is war is the smaller jihad, and the jihad that is the inner struggle against the temptations, that is the bigger jihad. And a lot of modern Muslims are like, look, Islam talks about jihad so much, but you think Islam is so war-loving, but actually Muhammad himself says that the main jihad, the struggle, there's the jihad within, there's the struggle against one's temptations. So this, Islam is actually peaceful. So I think why, maybe I'm guessing here, why Muslim Lantern didn't give into that, because he, I think he knows that as BS. Like, Quranically, the word jihad is used all the time about war, right? It's kind of like saying, like, hey, Adolf Hitler, you know, his book, The Struggle, struggling is not bad. Like, you know, Mein Kampf means the struggle. Struggle is not a bad, like, why do you guys have a problem with struggle? We're all struggling. Well, we know what he's referring to, right? And we know the book, the Quran, when it's talking about struggle, it's talking about jihad, which is talking about war, right? But the reason, and the hadith that she's mentioning, I don't think it's a Sahih hadith. Correct me if I'm wrong, people in the live chat. I don't think it's not a Sahih hadith. It's not a very strong hadith. So if you want to, and the Quran trumps any hadith anyways. So based on the Quran, when you mention jihad, you are talking about war. So she was saying, like, so I'm doing jihad. Am I, like, she wants to be proud of herself, I think. Yeah. She was like, okay, because I have homosexual desires, like, am I, like, as good as a jihadi? Like, a jihad, because jihad, people who are doing jihad, they're doing the best of these. They're doing the greatest things. So it's kind of, I think she's going through a crisis of identity and stuff, and she wants to feel happy with herself as a Muslim. Like, okay, so I want to have lesbian sex. I have lesbian desires. Like, I'm doing jihad right now. I'm doing jihad al-nafs, Islamically. So this is good. And he didn't say yes. He said he used the English term instead of the jihad. He insisted on not saying jihad. He's like, yes, he said it's a struggle. You're doing the struggle. Because he didn't want to use the word jihad, because he knows Islamically jihad actually does refer to war. That's my guess. That's my guess.
That's a very, right? That's a very interesting take. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Guys, this is the deep level analysis that you don't get. This level of analysis, yeah. You don't get this on other channels, guys. This is why you should like the stream. By the way, Roy became a member. Thank you so much, Roy. Appreciate that. We're growing. The army became a Satan's minion, right?
It's also just really nice that we don't have to hide our Israeli masters anymore, Armin. You know,
yes,
for years we couldn't talk about it, and
we used to deny that we were Zionist puppets. Now we're like, the world has become so evil, and us evil people have become so emboldened, and like it has been normalized to be this evil. So we could just announce to people that yes, we are Zionist puppets, and we're proud of it, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Stay mad is the way I feel about it. So, and Roy, it's gone. It was like. It was like first 30 seconds. Yeah, like literally. Yeah. So we said, hey, made a joke. Gone. So
He was asking. I can't find it. He was asking in the live chat, did we lose our monetization? Yes, we did. We did. It's gone. All right, so let's continue. Opinion.
But I don't think they are a real thing. And there's always reasons for why it happens. And there's always ways to talk about these things with the right people who are Muslims. So yeah, I'm not talking about non-Muslim people, talking about with Muslims who understand these issues, who can work them through and lead an individual into a more Islamically natural way of being or existing, the way that Allah created us, basically.
Okay. And I just have a few more questions, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So if I come back to Islam, would it be okay to label myself as Muslim and bisexual, even though I wouldn't be acting on my desires as a...
Oh, I'm going to guess. I haven't watched this part. I'm going to guess no, because bisexuality, you're turning it into an identity. You shouldn't turn sins into identities, okay?
Ooh, wow.
This is my guess he's going to say that. I mean, this is what Daniel Hayraju would say. I don't know if this is what this guy would say. You shouldn't turn your act of sinning into an identity. But
as a bisexual person, but I would just like rather keep the label just to feel fulfilled, I guess. Or is that haram?
No, I don't get the label. Who, like, are you going to have an ID? It's like, says, you know, I'm Muslim. This. What do you mean label, right? Like these things, like these are, this is a problem, I think, with the Western society today. People talk about these things which are supposed to be private things openly, as if they're normal day-to-day talk. this is like a person's like sexual desires or what. These are private matters. So it's not like you're going to be going around. And you say label, that's something which is public that people come across, you know, like your name or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are not going to say, what's your name? What's your sexual orientation? You know, that's last time I checked. That's not how people do it, you know. So unless they ask for it, you're not going to say it. That's the first part. So the second part is you shouldn't be labeling yourself with something that's considered a sin. Like, okay, assalamu alaikum, my name is Muhammad the murderer. You know, I'm not going to be labeling myself with something that's considered Islamically a sin, is it?
Yeah.
It's not the right thing to do, you know? So if you're asking from that aspect, anything which is considered a sin, no one should use that as a title and label himself as that thing. Having the desire, no, because this is why I said in the beginning, submitting to the idea that this is something which is immoral. If I submit to it, then I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not proud of it. I'm going to label myself it.
Yeah. But if the people around me already know that I am bisexual and then I become Muslim, I know that they're going to ask questions. And
tell them that you should know your religion. You shouldn't ask people about their sins. And whatever is my past before Islam is between me and Allah. And Islam yajubbu ma qabla. Islam removes that which came before it. وَالتَّوْبَةُ تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهِ. The repentance removes that which was before it.
Mm-hmm.
And تَأْبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهِ. The person who repents from his sin is like the one who's no sin. So this idea, if they understand the religion, they shouldn't be going around asking you questions anyways. And by the way, you spoke about how they behaved, which was incorrect anyways, not the right way to behave Islamically. So you tell them to come to me, I have a talk with them, no problem. But this is not the way. Yeah, this is not the way to do. Huh?
You want to talk to my mom about this?
Yeah, anyone, it doesn't matter. Like, talk to your family, no problem. But the thing is, yeah, this has to be understood. Once someone accepts Islam, we don't talk about their past. Their past is their past.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Sahaba were all people who accepted Islam. And their past was like, everyone knows how the past was in the days of Jahiliyyah. No one was going around, oh, but you were doing this before Islam. Because that was before Islam. That's literally why the term Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic days, that's why that term is used. Because this is the past. Person's become Muslim now, as long as he sincerely became Muslim. And he's practicing Islam. Whatever he done in his past is irrelevant. And these things that are private should remain between you and Allah. Remain between you and Allah anyways.
Okay. And
so two things. First of all, so he gave two points, right? So not labeling yourself with your sinful desires. That was one thing I called that, but I didn't saw the other part. Yes, he's right. You shouldn't, Islamically, it's not, this is the problem they say with the liberal world, things that are supposed to be very, very private, like your sexual life, mm-hmm. these are supposed to be private. But the liberal world has normalized just bringing out and talking about very private affairs publicly and has broken that taboo. This is Islamically, they say this is a taboo that hasn't been broken. So, for example, if you go around and say like, hey, I don't know, my name is Sarah, or I don't know how to pronounce her name, and I'm a bisexual, it's kind of like, Even if it wasn't sinful, even if it was a sin, but it was sexual. For example, you could be a heterosexual that really likes your wife's bum. You think she has an amazing butt and you're very attracted to her butt. Islamically, that is allowed. That's okay for you to be attracted to her butt. But you shouldn't go around and tell people that, oh yeah, I really like butts. I really, 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 really like butts, right? Islamically, like, okay, that's allowed. But that is private. You shouldn't say it publicly. So if you go tell people that you're a bisexual, it's kind of basically the same thing as going out and telling people that you're into butts, for example. And you shouldn't do that. So he brought two points, and he's correct. There are two points why you shouldn't, Islamically, why you shouldn't go tell people that you're bisexual.
Yeah. There's the two big aspects that stick out to me and are so frustrating. Is one, the continued insistence that being homosexual or bisexual or anything that is not strictly man, woman, banging it out, like that just isn't normal, you know? Insistence on that repeatedly is so frustrating because let's not use all of the personal anecdotes, like the fact that half of our fucking live chat right now, okay, is like is on, you know, some part of this spectrum, right? You know, shout out to all our LGBTQ sinners in the chat. You know, stand up, say hey.
Keep sinning, my friends.
Keep sinning. Absolutely. And like, so the insistence that it's not normal, it's like there's so many anecdotes that demonstrate otherwise. But here's the best part. We have hardcore scientific data, peer-reviewed studies that have cut the freaking muster every time that totally, totally definitively show us, like, all mammalian species exhibit homosexual behavior. Like, sheep do it, like, dogs do it, like, mice do it.
Elliot, this shows how atheists are. Look at the depravity of atheists. Look at atheists. They look at the animal. You look at the animal. Like, Islam is civilized. Islam understands that you don't look at the animal kingdom. Oh. To see how to behave.
I see. I see what the argument is there. That's interesting. No. See, right. I'm not. Yeah. I mean, well, we do have doggy style. So, I mean,
they're like, if I was a Muslim, they would be like, you know, secularity, do you know that dolphins do rape? Mm-hmm. Are you saying because dolphins do it, then we should do it as well? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying it's something that's obviously, you know, present in living species, in living
social species. Well, you're appealing to nature, okay? You're doing the appeal to nature fallacy.
Well, in the argument that it's not natural, that's the only thing you can do, right? Is be like,
no, they're not. He's not saying it's not natural. He didn't say it's not natural. Maybe it is natural. It is natural.
Not normal.
It is. Yeah, it is natural to want to sin. God made it natural to test you.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's just the big difference is that he just starts from this twisted ideology. You really are the Grand Mufti. I think all of these other posers are really just, you know, keeping your seat warm for when you take over with the caliphate. But the other quick point is just I hate this insistence that we have to keep these things that, again, aren't completely normal. Like, we have to keep them private. Like, don't just walk up to people and just tell them your dirty sex stories if they don't want to hear it. But, like, what's wrong with Armin and I having a legitimate conversation between the two of us where we say things like, oh, yeah, this is something that's a real turn on for me. I really like when a woman does this or wears this or what. Like, why is that a bad thing? I just think it's weird that we try to shun and prevent people from engaging with each other in completely normal things. Like, not everybody likes sex, of course, but like a shit ton of us do. And it's okay that we talk about that.
Do you know why it's easy for me to make Islamic points and actually, you know, make it seem like it's good points?
Because you can twist it to get to anything?
No. Because they are good points if you accept that there is a God and that Islam is true.
Fair. Yeah. Right? If you just... From the beginning, if you have the critical thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. No. No, it is critical. Like... If you accept, here's the thing. A lot of people try to destroy Islam by going out and cutting the branches, right? The problem is that if you have accepted the main premise, then these are the correct conclusions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So if you want to go after Islam, you have to go at the root. Because if you think like, okay, I don't have these people are making logical sense, it's because they are making logical sense once you accept the main premise. Mm. And that is why I'm going to segue to a plug. That's why I went for the freaking root. That's why I wrote this book, Why There Is No God. Because if you accept this main foundation, you could make excuses for everything. When I don't have the limitations of objective reality, I could excuse anything. I could show you how the most absurd, inhumane, evil crap in the world, I could justify it for you, because my hands are not tied by reality anymore. I have magic on my hand. I could make arguments for anything that you want. Anything. Easy. So go for the freaking route. Okay? Here's my... By the way, you can get my book for free. Link in the description. You can get a PDF version of this for free. Why There's No God. All right? There you go.
Yeah. Very good point there. Yeah. I agree. It all starts from It all starts from a terrible spot.
Yeah, but also I wanted to make another point about, you know, the part that he says, once you convert to Islam, everything is, all your past sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
That is he constantly mentions that, and for a good reason. That's such an appealing, tempting marketing of Islam. Right? A lot of people are not happy with themselves. A lot of people are having a crisis of identity. A lot of people are not proud of the things that they've done. When Islam comes and tells you, if you get convert to Islam, everything is forgotten. That was a different person. You are a new person. It doesn't matter who you were, what you did. Everything starts now. Okay? That reset is such an appealing marketing tactic for to convert to Islam. It's so appealing, especially today, to people. So when they're leaning on that, because a lot of people like that message, and that's why a lot of people convert to Islam, by the way.
It's weird that Allah has like that loophole built into the system. You know, it just seems weird. It's just a weird loophole. It feels like you could basically do whatever you want your entire life, and then right before you die.
I mean every effective cult has that. Every effective cult tells you that once you're now you're a completely new person, and everything you were before, we could forgive that, we could forget about that, right? That's why a lot of people who are doing drugs, you know, all of a sudden when they want to leave drugs, all of a sudden religion, Christianity or Islam becomes very appealing, because they're not proud of who they were, and they're shopping for a new identity. And Islam and Christianity come like, hey, if you accept Jesus or if you accept Allah, you're going to become a new you. Everything before this is not going to matter. So that makes is a very major selling point.
I just thought of something, Armin. Okay. Here's what we should start doing is, we tell all the people watching, all of you wonderful folks out there right now, we know that you've done bad things in your past, okay? We know you have. We all have. The good news is that when you subscribe to Atheist Republic, when you become a member of our channel, all of those past deeds are forgiven. You are a brand new person, okay? You are forgiven for all of those terrible things you did in the past. We won't even bring them up. Join the Atheist Republic Army and get a new life. That's how we do this from now on, Armin.
That's how it's done. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Yes, exactly. All right, let's finish this.
One last question, because you were talking about past sins. So like I said before, I'm an ex-Muslim, so it's not that I didn't know and then I came to know. So because I left Islam, would the sins I've done during the period that I left Islam be accounted as sins, or would they be like removed? Like, for example, I used to drink alcohol.
I understand.
And
you don't need to say what you used to do. It's okay. So after you accept Islam, as I already mentioned, that Islam destroys or removes that which was before it, and repentance removes that which was before. It's not just unique to accepting Islam, but it is the same with repentance. Even if you were to remain Muslim and did these actions and sincerely repented and came back to Allah, then it is a part of the past that is forgiven, because you repented to Allah.
Mm-hmm. But from what I know, like if you drink alcohol, for example, then you won't be able to drink the wines in Jannah. So how would that really... Well,
Jannah means heaven. So if you drink alcohol in this life, then God will prohibit you to drink wine in heaven.
Drink alcohol, for example, then you won't be able to drink the wines in Jannah. So how would that really...
Well, that's not for me to say then. That's not for me to say. That's something that Allah Azza wa Jal can choose. Like if he saw someone repenting, and you cannot expect to be treated as someone who didn't drink, right? Or you chose to drink with your, mm-hmm. your free will and choice. No one forced you to do that. Chose to leave Islam, mm-hmm. choose to disobey. So also you should think about the fair treatment of someone who held himself from doing that, while someone who chose to do it. But mm-hmm. either way, I cannot say that this will not happen, that you're not going to drink from the... Necessarily, you're not going to do it. This I'll leave that to Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. But either way, like whether if I enter Jannah and I drink alcohol, I drink alcohol. I wanted to enter Jannah. That's what matters, you know. Yeah. Or there's only one other option, you know. So if it's just to do with drinking alcohol, I'll repent straight away. Like this is like the pleasures in Jannah are not just one thing, you know, as small as this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there like a certain like thing I have to do to be able to go back to Islam, or is it?
Do the shahada. Is she going to do a shahada on air?
I start just praying and doing everything like before.
Well, you say the shahada as someone who is sincerely coming back to Islam. You do the shahada, believing mm-hmm. in what it means. Mm-hmm. And then you will start practicing Islam in your life. Prayer is the most important thing that you will start. And mm-hmm. then everything else to do with Islam, like just like you are a Muslim. So how someone enters Islam is saying the shahada. And when he leaves it, the way he comes back is saying the shahada. And with the intention of repenting and coming back. Mm-hmm. That's how people come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. And you know already how to say the shahada. You don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it a specific time. You already speak Arabic. You've done it before. You said it before. So if you say it sincerely in a way of repenting, that's it. That should be enough.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem. Anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
I thought they're gonna say the shahada on air.
I think it's better that he didn't, though. I really, out of all of the people you have showed me and that you have now filled up my YouTube feed with, unfortunately, because you keep sending me these videos to watch. But out of all these people, this guy is the one I understand his popularity more than anybody else. I really do understand why he connects with people on a handful of different levels. I really do. I still have, you know, lots of disagreements with him and so forth. Okay, so real quick. Why is all the stuff that's forbidden on earth just like super accessible in heaven? That seems really strange to me. Like, that's not a concept that I'm familiar with, because in Christianity, you don't have that. Like when you go up to heaven, like you don't have any of the cool stuff.
Because the point of making them a sin was to see if you follow, to get closer to God.
That literally is just, it's literally just the worst kind of test ever. Where Allah is just saying,
why would they be a sin anymore when you're now with God? Why would they be a sin anymore?
Because there's something inherent to the act itself that is bad, is against God.
There's two. No, not necessarily. If they're harmful, you can't harm a body in heaven.
Well, it's so not if about alcohol the physical is harmful, harm. It's about the spiritual harm. No.
The spiritual harm, you're already with God. Why? Where's the spiritual harm?
It was
a spiritual harm because it was a test and you were failing it, right? That's how it was a spiritual harm. Now that it's not a test anymore, how is it spiritual harm? Like, here's like this. Like, let me give you an analogy, right? Let's say that you are told that stop playing video games. Mm-hmm. You have an exam. In 2 days, you need to study. Mm-hmm. After your exam, then you could play video games, mm-hmm. right? And then you're like, okay, I'm not going to play video games right now. I'm going to study. I passed my test. Now that I passed my test, now my dad is like, okay, now play video games. Then you go like, wait a second. If playing video games was bad before, how come it's now okay? Well, your dad like, what are you talking about? It's obvious why it was bad before. You had a test. You had to study for your test. That's why it was bad before. Now that you pass your test, now you have more free time to play video games. That's why it's okay now. But go on.
So the rebuttal to that from the Christian would be that God's essence is so purely goodness that he cannot stand any of these things within his presence, and there is something fundamental to certain actions and behaviors that is just they will never be okay. They are fundamentally on the opposite side of the spectrum that God cannot be around. And so doing those actions in God's presence would be violating God's sovereignty and his all goodness.
No, that's not how we are. No, that's not how you should look at it. To look at God could change. There's nothing inherent about these things. God just could decide that something I can, God can do anything.
Well, that's just the difference between something Islam and Christianity. And is Christian. That Islam okay, okay. is more of a divine command theory, whereas Christianity yes. is not. Islam yeah, really God, is coming from God the perspective of it's wrong because God just said it was.
Wine, for example, was not haram before Muhammad. Like Islam, God, you know, Islam is a religion that existed since Prophet Adam, or actually existed forever, basically, mm-hmm. right? Other prophets were also prophets of Allah, right? And during Jesus' time, Allah did not make wine haram. So right. if you were at Jesus' time, Allah allowed you to drink alcohol, no problem. So right. you see, there's nothing inherent. It's just God. God can do anything, including yeah. making things haram whenever he wants it.
I yeah. mean, I'm following it. I just think it really puts yeah. Islam on a bad footing. I think it just really says that it is all divine command theory, which is atrociously problematic, and it just fails from the very beginning. It's just the worst belief system to hold when it comes to trying to indicate a deity is the grounding of morality. That's all. It just right. really is that bad. Like, I guess.
I just want to confirm something that you said, which is about this guy, right? Uh-huh. I genuinely believe that the people who like Ali Dawa, Muhammad Hijab, and Smile Jannah, mm-hmm. they were already Muslim. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there are many people who converted to Islam because of those guys, right?
Sure.
And I would bet many people have left Islam because of those guys. Yeah. Like I would bet that Ali Dawa has convinced more people out of Islam than to Islam, but his popularity is not with people who are finding Islam interesting, but it's with people who are already Muslim. Like, you right. know, it's not bringing anybody new. This guy is somebody that is capable
yep.
of attracting people to Islam. Yep. Unlike those three other people, yep. I could see this person's appeal, and this guy mm-hmm. is genuinely convincing people to yeah. give Islam a chance, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we need to pay more attention to that channel.
I agree.
Another thing I noticed about, like, reminded me about the characteristic of Islam, which we talked about how you, if you convert to Islam, everything that you were, all your past sins are forgiven. One reason why I think that is very harmful, it's really good for Islam, but besides the point that the things that Islam considers harmful are not necessarily harmful, and the things that Islam considers good are not necessarily good, but even if it was, if it got those things accurate, removing guilt by just quickly saying some magic words is a harm. It's a very dangerous thing for society, right? Guilt is a useful tool that came to us by evolution, and it's a self-correcting mechanism. When we do things that are actually wrong, not Islamically wrong, we're supposed. It's good that we feel guilty. And that guilt makes us do better, makes us try to correct the things that the harm that we did. And Christianity and Islam, when by saying certain magic words, the guilt going away, that is harmful because guilt, you need to have that guilt. Guilt makes you start behaving better. Guilt makes you try to go and undo some of the harm that you have done. And last point is that she didn't mention why she finds Islam compelling, but to me, it seemed like this is more about where a crisis of identity and where can she feel important and accepted rather than actually genuinely looking at whether the claims of Islam are true or not. And for a lot of people, including many atheists, when they go and look at what to believe and what not to believe, they're not necessarily looking at what is true and if we have evidence for the claims. It's a shopping of identity. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, their beliefs and their views is a shopping of identity and a shopping for a community. And sometimes, like now that atheists are more out there, that's true also for atheists. A lot of people become atheists because they're liking that atheist community, or they're liking that atheist identity. So we have to, if we want to, you know, go around and promoting good ideas, we have to understand also that for, I would say, the vast majority of the people, they choose their beliefs because their beliefs is not necessarily a reflection of what they think objective reality is like. Their belief is two things. It's a membership card to a community, and it's their identity card. That's the utility of their beliefs, not necessarily a reflection of objective reality. They don't, like for us, maybe a lot of us were like, oh, what do I believe? Well, let me see, go and see what beliefs best matches what I think is objective reality. That's how we go find our beliefs. But for most people, they're shopping for those two things. But anyways. Yeah,
I think that is an extremely good point. And a good reason for all of you out there to finally step into your new lives as the new people that you will become once you join the Atheist Republic Army. So like the freaking video, subscribe, hit the bell, join us on Discord, follow us on Twitter, all the stuff. Because yeah,
just seriously. By hitting subscribe, guys, just by hitting subscribe, all your past sins, everything will be forgotten, all gone, poof, out the window. Just by hitting, you don't even have to say anything. Islam makes you say the Shahada. You don't even have to say anything. Just pressing the subscribe button
Just like our demonetization, all of that will be gone in 30 seconds or less.
Yeah. wait. Maybe you should do this. Like, and your sins are gone. If you subscribe, they're gone. No more sins for you.
That's right. See, this is what happens when you come to us. You know, not only do you get only the best knowledge and wisdom on all things silly and religious, but also you get to finally be a good person because all those past deeds gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, you're welcome. No. We do that for you. That's how much we love you. You know, is that we take it
okay.
away?
Okay. <That's this guy. laughs>
Sorry. That's really... your legs might grow. You might, you know.
Wait, let me read it. Let me read it for people that are just listening. Hammers in the live chat is saying, after I subscribed, my back pain went away. I did not know that.
If you're worried about a new job coming up, or maybe you're not sure if this person you're attracted to likes you back, why not try putting a comment under this video asking for the great algorithm gods to grant you that new job? It could happen. You know, it could, just like prayer, it could technically work. Yeah. So try it.
Just try it. Just try it. You don't know what happens.
See, what are you missing out on if you don't? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Try it.
We're doing Pascal's Wager for Atheist Republic. All right, guys. Thank you for being here. And again, don't forget to like and subscribe and hit the bell notification and leave a comment and all of that. All right. See you on the next stream. Bye. Mwah.